Hello, everyone. My name is Josh Gilliland. Today with me is my eternal partner in geekdom, Jessica Meterson.
Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Are you ready, Jessica, to be our Sherpa, to take us on a journey to the mid-1980s for a classic that defines Gen X and Gen Y's geekdom experience? Are you ready to tell us the story of The Goonies?
I am ready. Although, quite frankly, anyone who doesn't know the story of The Goonies, I don't even want to know. I'm like, it is a classic for all times. Everybody should be watching it.
Exactly. Now, Jessica, who is your favorite character in The Goonies?
That's a tough one. They're all wonderful, of course. Mikey's lovable. Trunk is funny. Data's fantastic. But I have to say, I love Mouth. It's my favorite Corey Feldman role. I love the Mouth on him. He cracks me up. The way he's speaking Spanish to the housekeeper, messing with her about the drugs and the sex room. He's fantastic. How do you not love Corey Feldman in that role?
Indeed. Indeed. I side a little more with Mikey, but, you know, I digress. Also being the older brother, I'm used to that role as well. So I get it. So,
even Josh Brolin, you got it like this.
Yeah, you know, you're on the right hand, the index finger and the middle finger, and I'm over here on the left hand, the pinky by itself. So there I am. So Jessica, in your opinion, what was the scariest part of this eternal classic?
First of all, I have to tell you, the neighborhood kids mock me for thinking that any part of The Goonies is scary, but I am easily scared. That's why I still haven't seen Jaws. I don't do scary movies, so The Goonies is about the max of my scary tolerance. So yeah, the scene where they have Trunk's hand in the blender, that has always freaked me out. Although Trunk's response to telling them everything is actually probably the best scene in the entire movie.
Well, you know, the hand in the blender should bother anyone, even though Spielberg did pull the trigger on that in Gremlins.
Oh, yuck.
It was a gremlin, so it wasn't a person. It was a puppet. We're gonna work
still gross.
This. For the record, I didn't think any part of it was scary. So let's just keep that out there. So Jessica, why does The Goonies stand the test of time, in your opinion?
Well, of course, you know, everyone loves the pirates, even before Johnny Depp became, like, the best pirate of all times. Everyone loves the pirates. You know, everybody's always been searching for that treasure, the pirate's booty. You've got the band of kind of, you know, down and out, ragamuffin, uncool, poor kids, which I'm like, yes, I can relate to. And of course, actually, it's really apt in this, you know, in the past few years, of course, with all these families facing foreclosures on their home, you know, so that's the sort of thing that unfortunately would be appropriate right now. But, and of course, the fact that they have the country club in there and the insufferable rich kid. And every time they reference a country club, I, of course, think of Bushwood Country Club. So, you know, you can tie everything back to Caddyshack if you try hard enough. But I just think, yeah, you know, the kids searching, the adventure. You even see, by the way, I didn't realize until this last time, you can tell Steven Spielberg's getting ready for Raiders of the Lost Ark when he has the big rocks. They're like in the tunnel and the big rocks come down. They don't actually roll after the kids like the one did after Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones. But you do see the idea is already there.
It's actually Raiders came first. So, turn in your geek card.
All right.
Raiders
is too cool for me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I saw it on IMAX. but let's get legal and let's give something for all the first year property students out there. Would the kids get to keep the treasure they found?
The long-standing rule, which is sometimes trumped, of course, by statutes in certain states now, like Florida, where there's tons of pirate booty, the general rule is that, yes, a treasure trove, if found upon the land or the sea, does belong to the finder. If found below the land, it belongs to the king, or, of course, now the government. But if it's a treasure trove, and that's the question, and that's what often comes up, is something a treasure trove, and therefore the finders, in this case, do they get to keep it? Or is it lost or abandoned or mislaid property, in which case it often belongs to the person who owns the property. And so a lot of times the cases will turn on whether something is considered a treasure trove or not when valuables of some sort are found.
So let's talk about the ship, the Inferno, since it was in the cove, which was closed up in the cave. So what would that make it? Because it's on the sea, but it's also enclosed in a tunnels that they had to get to. And then we get the entire, you know, Ghent v. Rich situation with, you know, they aren't on the ship when it goes sailing out. If there was a mark of appropriation left on board, so they could claim it as their own. So discuss.
I don't know. You're right. I think it'd actually be difficult to discuss or determine whether they would own the ship. And of course, in the movie, the idea is they actually do give up rights to the actual sailing ship. The idea there is that they get to keep though the gems, and they're kind of funny gems. I'm like, you think for a big movie, those gems look pretty fake. I'm like, it seems like they can, or maybe I just don't know real gems, but I'm like, it seems like they could have found something better looking. But of course, what is it? Rosalita at the end is cleaning out Mikey's marble bag, and she finds a handstone or the handful of gemstones. And that's what they use, of course, to prevent the foreclosures of the homes, because somehow Mikey's dad can quickly ascertain the value of both the gemstones and the value of all the houses that are on the line. And everything, of course, ends happily ever after.
Yeah, it probably would take more than the marble bag to save all the houses. Yeah. But They in today's market, maybe they could save one, but I don't know if they would be able to save all of them. That'd be an interesting appraisal issue. They definitely could with everything from the ship.
Right.
I think there's a great argument that, you know, that would be more than adequate to buy a subdivision of homes. I don't think there's an issue there. But since they were forced off the ship under duress, I don't know if they actually gave up their rights to it. So I do. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, if there is a good, you know, if the marbles left on board would be enough of a mark of appropriation for Mikey to claim ownership of pirate, you know, of pirate
or
One-Eyed Willie's ship.
Or the inhaler. Is that when he threw the inhaler away? I think that was on the pirate ship too, when he was going to take another puffy note, because of course that was his cute, adorable shtick throughout the entire movie. I just watched this, but I'm pretty sure that's when he actually threw it away, was when he was there next to One-Eyed Willie and he tossed it. So leaving that on the ship, certainly it should have his name on it, prescription information. So that would certainly work.
I thought it was on the beach when he did that, but it's been a while since I've seen the film.
Maybe that was a beach. Shoot. They need to redo it. When Steven Spielberg redoes it, he can leave the inhaler on the ship.
Well, they were supposed to be attacked by an octopus, and Spielberg cut that out.
That's right. But they still mention it at the end.
Well, that, and they also, you know, when they did the Cyndi Lauper video, they have the octopus in the Cyndi Lauper video. But that's good enough for me. And but you know, I... You know, like my favorite part of this is, you know, Mikey's speech when, you know, they're dealing with potentially escaping with Troy's bucket. And you know, like, what little political science student doesn't love the great line of, because it's their time, up there, down here, it's our time down here. I'm like, what, like, 12-year-old who saw that didn't identify with that?
Mm-hmm.
And still, I mean, like, you know, I do believe that a lot of Gen X, is, you know, we're the ones in charge for the time being, just because of where we are in our professional lives and people doing professional things, that it's kind of our time right now. It's our
That's
time
right.
to do these things. And soon it'll be somebody else's time, you know, give it a decade and the wheel turns. But right now it's our time. And
down
so
here,
I, that's
it's reasons. Our time. That's right.
Exactly. So, well, cool. Any final thoughts on the Goonies?
I don't dare top that. I think that speech was fantastic. I think we need to end it here.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing your, you know, and doing all the legal research on treasure troves. And stay geeky, America. Stay geeky.
Bye, Josh.